This morning on WCHL, a fallen tree has a major portion of MLK Boulevard shut down after taking out power lines. The UNC system responds with acceptance to the passage of North Carolina's budget for this fiscal year, but K-12 supporters aren't as happy. Just after two cases of rabies took the total to 17 in Orange County this year, another one comes right on its heels.
The residents killed the fox because the fox had latched on to the dog in their yard and would not release the dog.
And UNC doctors may have connected treatment to 1 in 10 cancer patients.
In some tissues, there's more than one type of cell that can give rise to cancers.
These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, it's week 5 of the grid, taking us to East Chapel Hill High School with its third different head coach in as many seasons. And
NCAA socialism will turn out to work better than the autonomy that passed this week.
That's this morning at our Chamsky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
6:07, 64 degrees in Chapel Hill. Really a little, not chilly, but a lot less warm than it normally is. Partly sunny today. Our high today, about 85 degrees. It will definitely turn a little chilly over the weekend with a high tomorrow in the 70s. Chapel Hill police responded to Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard at around 10 p.m. yesterday when a tree fell, taking down power lines across Chapel Hill's major thoroughfare last night. Officers promptly closed all lanes in both directions to vehicular traffic between Critz Drive and Piney Mountain Road. As of 5:45 a.m. today, the Chapel Hill Police Department watch commander told WCHL that utility crews estimate the reopening of the roadway to be between 8 and 9 this morning. Power was knocked out in the immediate area at the time the lines fell, according to Chapel Hill Police. As of 6 o'clock this morning, Duke Energy was not reporting any outages in the area. And again, that's going to cause some major problems this morning. The roads are closed there, Piney Mountain, or between Piney Mountain Road and Chris Drive on Martin Luther King Boulevard. It is closed down because there are some trees that have fallen, and we'll keep you posted on that situation. UNC System President Tom Ross praised the North Carolina General Assembly for its attention to higher education with the signing of the 2014-15 budget signed into law yesterday morning by Governor Pat McCrory. The reception wasn't as rosy on the pre-K through 12 level. President Ross released a statement shortly after the passage, reading in part, "There is a lot to appreciate in this budget, including the first new investment by the General Assembly for parts of our Strategic Directions Initiative and the support of the new Teacher Support Program. The new Teacher Support Program's goal is to cater to each young educator's individual needs in order to make sure they're on the path to success. Despite an average of 7% increase to teachers' salaries in primary education, there are still concerns among educators. Longevity pay, the bonus once awarded to teachers with more than 10 years of experience, is no longer guaranteed. Instead, the new plan caps teacher salaries at $50,000 for those with more than 25 years in the classroom and rolls longevity pay into the base salaries. This has some long-term teachers estimating their raises at closer to 2-4%, while starting teachers will receive a 7% boost, and those with half a decade of experience could see as much as an 18% increase. Representative Greg Meyer of Orange and Durham counties told WCHL on Wednesday after the announcement of Budget Director Art Pope's resignation that he's also concerned about future budget decisions because there is now an $800,000 to $1 billion deficit that will have to be accounted for during the 2015-16 budget talks. Another case of rabies here in Orange County. That story and more news coming up in a moment. WCHL News Time is 6:10.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace Headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee, but we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruiser's. Good to go.
At Five Guys, they're in business to sell quality burgers, period. Nothing beats Five Guys' hand-formed patties of fresh ground beef piled high with any or all 15 free toppings. And who can resist Five Guys fresh-cut Idaho fries cooked in trans fat and cholesterol-free peanut oil? It's no wonder that Five Guys has been Sagat survey-rated for 11 years. Stop by the new location at Meadowmont Village to see what all the buzz is about. For more locations and hours, visit fiveguys.com.
Ron Stuntz has been your early morning host since 1977. That's a long time behind the mic. Ron has all your local news, sports, traffic and weather together, interviews with the newsmakers, commentaries, jokes, and a lot more. You'll hear from Rand Northam and the entire WCHL news team, plus Freddie Kiger's trivia, Wayne Pond's word of the day, the clean joke, and a whole lot more. Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, Ron Stutz.
6:12 at WCHL. In addition to the two cases released yesterday, Orange County Animal Services has received another positive rabies test of the year, bringing up the total number of confirmed cases, rabies incidents in the county to 18 now. That's a confirmed rabies test result, I should say. The director of Orange County Animal Services, Bob Morado, told WCHL what happened in the latest confirmed case that took place on Tuesday, August 5th.
It involved a fox that was impounded after being killed by some residents in the southern part of the county, Carborough. The residents killed the fox because the fox had latched on to the dog in their yard and would not release the dog. And so to free the dog from the fox, the folks used some implements to separate the fox and the dog, resulting in the death of the fox.
The Orange County Health Department contacted the dog's owners to check for risk of human exposure to rabies. The dog involved in this case was currently vaccinated against rabies and will get a booster shot in accordance with rabies law here in North Carolina.
I think what I would emphasize is not only the importance of pet vaccination and then if there is an exposure boostering, but I think we want to remind people how important it is to have their pets supervised at all time when they're outside in order to try and avert situations in which their pets may either pursue a wild animal or a wild animal may approach their pet.
Next Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon, the Orange County Animal Services Center will host another low-cost rabies vaccination clinic. The center is located at 1601 Eubanks Road in Chapel Hill. There will be a $10 cost for rabies vaccinations, and microchips will also be available for $25. If you'd like to find out more, call Orange County Animal Services, or you can find a link in this story on our website at chapelboro.com. The Chapel Hill Fire Department has completed its training with the controlled burns of the old houses along 15501 South between Arlen Park Drive and Market Street, now making way for the new Southern Village Hotel. Public Information Officer of the Chapel Hill Fire Department, Lisa Edwards, says that the burns were a big success and that everyone involved, most importantly, stayed safe.
The burns went very, very well. First and foremost, they were safe. We didn't have any injuries of firefighters or any personnel that were on scene.
Edwards says that it's been 10 years since the department has had an opportunity like this, and that being able to contain or to get the permits to practice it on houses outside of their limited training areas offered invaluable training for firefighters.
The biggest thing was it gave us that practical application of trying different firefighting techniques based on what they were dealing with as they entered the scene, whether they could assess smoke patterns, flame patterns. Sometimes we'd go in there and just knock it down just a little bit so it could come back up so they have another opportunity to fight it before they put it out. That was just invaluable.
In addition to thanking the citizens of Chapel Hill for being patient about the fires and the lane closures that occurred during the burns, Edwards also wanted to reach out and thank other local services that cooperated in conjunction with the live burn training.
I wanted to thank Orange County Emergency Management and South Orange Rescue for having staff there each day to take our vital signs and make sure hydration was given, and to Bryan Properties for making the homes available for us to burn.
The Chapel Hill Fire Department has uploaded a point-of-view cam video of one of the control burns, and you can watch it by following a link in this story on our website, chapelboro.com. 38 children on average have died from being left in hot cars in the past 14 years in the United States, but none has shocked the nation more than the death of a 22-month-old in Marietta, Georgia. Justin Ross Harris awaits trial for charges, including first-degree murder, and could face between 30 years in prison and the death penalty. Lisa Mayhew is the child death investigator and trainer for the North Carolina Medical Examiner and State Child Fatality Prevention Team. She says all the attention this case has gotten presents prime opportunities to inform people of the dangers of leaving children in their vehicles on a hot day.
It's a similar situation to, like, the safe surrender law. Whenever we have an incident of an abandoned baby or an infant that comes in, then it stems a little bit more press towards that particular topic.
The safe surrender law says an overwhelmed parent can give his or her baby up to 7 days old to an adult and walk away, no questions asked. North Carolina has averaged just one hyperthermic death among children per year in the past 4 years. Three happened in 2008, two in 2006. However, the topic was brought closer to home on Tuesday of this week when news of a one-month-old death in Statesville came out. The parents, Sherry Tisha Clay and Shaquie Daquan Robinson, both 29 years old, were arrested and charged with involuntary manslaughter and felony child abuse. The child died after being left in the car for 2 hours. There is more to this story, and we'll have it coming up at the bottom of the hour right here on WCHL. You can also see this story on our website at chapelboro.com. It is 6:17. Time now for traffic and weather together, and traffic brought to you this morning by the Carolina Inn. Not a lot happening out there in this morning in traffic, not so far. It's usually this way, but it will pick up very shortly. Traffic will start to get a little busy out there, and Rand Northam is in the newsroom. You'll be reporting on traffic throughout the morning on WCHL. If you spot something we're not aware of, please call us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363, or you can tweet us at WCHL. The main news to report this morning is that Martin Luther King Boulevard is shut down because of downed power lines, and it may be a while. Chapel Hill Police responded to Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard last night at about 10 o'clock because a tree fell down, taking down some power lines across one of Chapel Hill's major thoroughfares. Traffic is closed in both directions to vehicular traffic this morning between Critz Drive and Piney Mountain Road. That is on MLK. And we'll let you know when they're able to get that straightened out and when things can get back to normal. That's going to cause quite a few problems in our local area early this morning. The traffic report brought to you by the Carolina Inn. You know, the Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of just three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant. Now, WCHL's Chapel Hill Carver weather looks like this. 64 degrees this morning. A little bit on the cool side. Partly sunny, high today about 85. Tonight cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain and the low about 68. Tomorrow, listen to this, showers and thunderstorms. 100% chance of rain tomorrow. Our high tomorrow, 75. Tomorrow night, showers with a light chance of thunderstorms. Overnight low around 68, about like usual. Still 100% chance of rain. And then a 100% chance of rain on Sunday as well. Showers probably, but a slight chance of a thunderstorm. And the high on Sunday in the low 70s. Boy, that's a big dramatic turn for the cooler as far as our weather is concerned, and a huge chance of rain pretty much all weekend long. WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning, I'm Ryan Stutz. Let's talk a little football this morning. High school football. We continue our weekly preseason high school football series with a check-in at East Chapel Hill High School. The Wildcats struggled to a 3-8 finish last season, but now a new era begins for Wildcat football. Head coach Mike Holderman begins his attempt to rebuild the program. It's not the first time this has happened. WCHL's Matt Oaks had the chance to chat with Coach Holderman and has the story.
For the newly installed Wildcat coach, the opportunity to move down south and be near his family was a no-brainer.
Brother and his family live in Raleigh. My sister and her family live in Durham, and my mom lives in Morrisville. You know, my wife and I have always kind of had a plan to head down south when this opened up. It was kind of a perfect opportunity.
Coach Holderman is wasting no time shaking things up at East Chapel Hill. He's not easing his way in. He says it may be too late to completely change the culture, but he will be transforming the offensive and defensive schemes.
We are completely, changing the systems offensively, defensively. So it has been getting these guys to buy into the way we're going to do things. Really late in the, in the overall picture of the grand scheme of things to kind of change the culture of the overall program. So right now it's just really working on our offensive, defensive systems.
Thankfully for Coach Holderman, he says the kids have been very receptive to his new coaching philosophy. As far as the makeup of his 2014 squad, the Wildcat leader identifies plenty of promising athletes, but the experience level isn't where he'd like it to be. Still, Coach Holderman says the future looks bright for his new team.
Skill-wise, we have a lot of great skill kids, very young, but the skill guys we have they're very talented, and if we kind of keep them in the program and have them continue to progress throughout their years, they're going to be really good football players.
Fans should look for East Chapel Hill's offense to be filled with exciting plays this fall. Coach Holderman says unlike previous Wildcat teams, he'll be heavily incorporating a tight end into his wing type and spread up-tempo offense.
Offensively, we'll be more of a hybrid wing T type of set. We'll be in double wings pretty much exclusively until we get to our spread sets, which we will do a whole bunch of as well. We're going to have a tight end, 9 out of 10 times. I know that's something different, completely different than East Chapel has done in a long time. So we'll have a tight end and double wing, the single back. We'll motion almost every play and try to do a whole bunch of misdirection stuff and utilize the speed that we have.
But Coach Holderman is under no illusions. He's not expecting everything to click from day one. He says the season ahead will serve as a learning tool for his players.
We are really behind the eight ball with these guys, just to kind of keep them focused on what we're doing. We're going to be learning all season long. I mean, there's not going to be a point where we could say, okay, we got the whole playbook in. We're going to continue to get better at the things that we're putting in and try to continue to evolve the offense and defense.
The 4A Pac-6 Conference is sure to provide a stern test to a program in transition. Perennial powerhouses Riverside and Hillside pack a tough 1-2 punch. Not surprisingly, Coach Holderman says he projects a tough road ahead for his Wildcats.
We got Hillside right there, and everybody knows all about Hillside. They won a title a couple of years ago, and they got a lot of great football players. And, I haven't been able to do too much homework on those guys, but, just kind of following North Carolina football. You always hear about Hillside. I know Riverside had a phenomenal year last year, and Northern Durham was right there in the mix as well, so our hands are going to be full.
With tempered expectations and talented youth and skill positions under a fresh, eager head coach, the Wildcats will enter the fall with nothing to lose and everything to gain. Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
We're excited about high school football around here. We'll have it for you every Friday night right here on WCHL. And a lot of other people are excited about the Carolina Panthers and the opening of their season. Coach Ron Rivera says he's unsure if quarterback Cam Newton will play in the Carolina Panthers preseason opener tonight against the Buffalo Bills. Newton did not participate in team drills during practice yesterday. Rivera says he'll likely make a decision after Newton meets with the trainer, Ryan Vermillion. Newton had surgery on his left ankle back in March. He had participated in all drills before being limited on Wednesday and Thursday. Rivera says, we want to make sure we do it right. We want to make sure he's ready to roll and he can protect himself. Derek Anderson will start if Newton doesn't play. Meanwhile, quarterback E.J. Manuel and the Bills offense are hoping to get back on track after a 17-13 loss to the New York Giants on Sunday night. For a second straight season, North Carolina soccer defender Boyd Okwuonu has been identified as potential candidate for the Missouri Athletic Club's Herman Trophy, as announced on Wednesday. The reigning Atlantic Coast Conference Defender of the Year, Okwuonu, has anchored a Tar Heel defense that is ranked first and sixth, respectively, over the last 2 years in goals against average in the nation. Okwuonu is a senior from Edmond, Oklahoma. He's been recognized already by TopDrawerSoccer.com on his preseason best list. The UNC men's soccer team will host the Carolina Railhawks in an exhibition men's soccer match on Monday night at 7 o'clock at Fetzer Field. That match will serve as a fundraiser for the Kirk Urso Memorial Fund. Admissions free, donations will be collected. It is 6:25 at WCHL. Good morning.
The Osgood File, sponsored by AJC. This is Dave Ross and for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. The Ebola outbreak in West Africa continues to spread, and the CDC says the affected countries are running out of time. More after this from David Harris of AJC.
What can the latest Hamas-triggered conflict with Israel teach us? First, it's a reminder of the true face of terrorism. Hamas is a jihadist group. It's on the terrorism lists of America and the EU. Its declared goal is to destroy Israel and replace it with a Sharia-based society. Second, terrorists will go to any lengths to pursue their aims. It's almost impossible for us to imagine, but Hamas uses women and children as human shields. It fires rockets at Israel, hoping to hit anything and cause the maximum possible damage. And third, Hamas is not alone. It's part of a larger network of groups targeting democratic societies and moderates of many faiths. When you think Hamas, think Hezbollah, think Boko Haram, think ISIS, think Al-Qaeda, and yes, think Iran. Bottom line, what Israel is facing is a threat not just to Israel, but to our larger world. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at AJC Global. This is David Harris of AJC.
Paid for by AJC.
Most disease experts are saying that despite the outbreak in Africa, we here in the U.S. needn't worry ourselves about the Ebola virus. But while it may not be a threat here, international relief organizations told a congressional committee that it would be a mistake to conclude that this is not our problem.
If we do not fight and contain this disease in West Africa, we will be fighting this disease and containing it in multiple other countries around the world. And the truth is, the cat is most likely already out of the bag.
Ken Isaacs with Samaritan's Purse, who says the only country with the resources to make a difference is us.
The international response to the disease has been a failure.
The two Americans working for Samaritan's Purse who contracted the disease, Dr. Kent Brantley and Nancy Reitbol, were treated with an experimental drug called ZMAP. But Dr. Tom Frieden of the Centers for Disease Control says that's not going to solve this.
We don't know whether that treatment is helpful, harmful, or doesn't have any impact.
The key to controlling the outbreak is not about curing it, he says, but stopping the spread. And the next few weeks will be critical.
What's needed is not fancy equipment. What's needed is standard infection control rigorously applied.
But that won't be easy. According to Samaritan's Purse, that would involve persuading African communities to abandon their traditional practice of washing the body and then kissing the corpse immediately after death, the precise point at which the virus is most infectious. Aid workers who tried to intervene in the ceremony have been attacked, and in Liberia, one of the hardest hit countries, there are physicians who deny the Ebola virus even exists. The Osgood File, Dave Ross, on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do boxed breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
Perry locked himself out of his car. Should he A, call his amateur wrestler friend with fists of steel, or B, get roadside assistance from the Geico mobile app? The correct answer is B. The Geico mobile app uses GPS, so Perry can get roadside assistance quickly without saying a word. It's like telepathy. Perry's steel-fisted friend would dent up the door and break stuff. Geico's mobile app is speedy and makes it easy for Perry to get roadside assistance with the tap of his finger.
Geico. Wherever, whenever. Just a click away with our free mobile app.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Oasis at Carmel. It's 50% off, $20 worth of food and drink available today for only $10. Picture the perfect, intimate, and relaxed gathering spot. Oasis is the place. Located in downtown Carrboro inside Carmel Mall, it operates as a coffee house, tea room, wine bar, and cafe during the day. At night, the space is transformed into an environment of entertainment, connections, and inspiration. It's 50% off from Oasis at Carmel. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
All
day and all night. This is your home for local news, sports, traffic, weather, and information you can't get anyplace else. This is WCHL 97.9 FM and 1360 AM and streaming live wherever you are at chapelboro.com.
Get ready. Well, thank you very much. Get ready for a little different kind of weather this weekend. Big chance of rain. 50% chance of rain coming tonight. First of all, after a partly sunny day, high today in the middle 80s, nothing really unusual about that. But tonight, 50-50 chance of rain with a low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, 100% chance of rain with a high in the middle 70s. Showers, maybe thunderstorms. Tomorrow night, 100% chance of rain with a low of 68. And then on Sunday, a 100% chance of rain with a high only in the low 70s.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. C-130 aircraft flew over northern Iraq. The U.S. military dropped enough humanitarian aid to help about 8,000 people who were forced into the mountains by Iraqi militants. Correspondent Major Garrett.
The Pentagon, under the president's direction, sent in a tremendous number of humanitarian flights providing food, water, and medicine. Those were successfully executed. All U.S. aircraft successfully left the airspace.
As reporter Saud Mirani Skypes from Baghdad, members of the Yazidi religious sect are trapped atop Sinjar Mountain.
The terrain of the area is very tough. It's very harsh. It's full of mountains and big rocks, and most of those refugees are women and children, so it's hard for them to maneuver and move around the mountains.
President Obama has also authorized airstrikes if the militants move on the city of Erbil, where U.S. diplomats and military advisors are located.
We intend to stay vigilant and take action if these terrorist forces threaten our personnel or facilities anywhere in Iraq.
CBS News, I'm Dave Barrett.
WCHL News, talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
65 degrees, 632 at WCHL. Huge chance of rain all weekend long. Today, not so bad. A lot of sunshine with a high in the middle 80s. This is Ron Stutz. Chapel Hill Police responded to Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard at about 10 o'clock last night when a tree fell, taking down power lines across one of Chapel Hill's major thoroughfares. Officers promptly closed all the lanes in both directions to vehicular traffic between Critz Drive and Piney Mountain Road. Now, as of this morning, the Chapel Hill PD watch commander told WCHL utility crews that they estimate the reopening of the roadway to be between 8 and 9 o'clock. So, again, that roadway is closed. Martin Luther King Boulevard is closed in both directions from Critz Drive to Piney Mountain Road. Power knocked out of the immediate area at the time the lines fell, according to the Chapel Hill Police Department. As of 6 o'clock this morning, though, Duke Energy was not reporting any outages in the area. Now the problems remain with the down power lines and the trees. And they're working out of that situation, but you can't get through there going in either direction on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard this morning between Piney Mountain Road and Critz Drive. We'll have an update for you as soon as one becomes available, but best to take another route. Do not go that way. You can't go through going in either direction, into town or out of town. UNC System President Tom Ross praised the North Carolina General Assembly for its attention to higher education with the signing of the 2014-2015 budget signed into law on Thursday morning by Governor Pat McCrory. The reception, however, was not as rosy on the pre-K through 12 level. President Ross issued a statement shortly after the passage, reading in part, quoting here, "There's a lot to appreciate in this budget, including the first new investment by the General Assembly for parts of our Strategic Directions Initiative and the support of the new Teacher Support Program," unquote. The new Teacher Support Program's goal is to cater to each young educator's individual needs in order to make sure they're on the path to success. Despite an average of 7% increase to teachers' salaries in primary education, there are still some concerns among educators. Longevity pay, the bonus once awarded to teachers with more than 10 years of experience, is no longer guaranteed. Instead, the new plan caps teacher salaries at $50,000 for those with more than 25 years in the classroom and rolls longevity pay into the base salaries. This has some long-term teachers estimating their raises at closer to 2 to 4%, while starting teachers will get a 7% boost. and those teachers with half a decade of experience could see as much as an 18% increase. Representative Greg Meyer of Orange and Durham Counties told WCHL on Wednesday after the announcement of Budget Director Art Pope's resignation that he's also concerned about future budget decisions because there's now an $800,000 to $1 billion deficit that will have to be accounted for during the 2015-16 budget talks. 38 children on average have died from being left in hot cars in the past 14 years in the United States, but none has shocked the nation more than the death of a 22-month-old in Marietta, Georgia. Justin Ross Harris awaits trial for charges, including first-degree murder, and could face between 30 years in prison and the death penalty. Lisa Mayhew is a child death investigator and trainer for the North Carolina Medical Examiner and State Child Fatality Prevention Team. She says all the attention this case has gotten presents prime opportunities to inform people of the dangers of leaving children in their vehicles on a hot day.
It's a similar situation to like the safe surrender law. Whenever we have an incident of an abandoned baby or an infant that comes in, then it stems a little bit more press towards that particular topic.
The safe surrender law says an overwhelmed parent can give a baby up to 7 days old to an adult and walk away, no questions asked. North Carolina's averaged just one hyperthermic death among children per year in the past 4 years. Three occurred in 2008, two in 2006. However, the topic was brought closer to home on Tuesday when news of a one-month-old's death came in Statesville. The parents, Sherry Tisha Clay and Shaquie Daquan Robinson, both 29 years old, were arrested and both charged with involuntary manslaughter and felony child abuse. The child died after being left in the car for 2 hours. A petition addressed to President Barack Obama was started on July 14th, titled Prevent Child Heat Stroke Deaths in Vehicles. The petition asked for increased funding for research and funding for new technologies. Mayhew says before any new technologies are created to help fight this problem, there are safety tips that can help this issue without needing any kind of fancy gadget.
There's a phrase, look before you lock. So getting people in the habit of checking their back seat, putting your purse or your keys, or more importantly, your cell phone in the back seat.
And she says that last one could be mutually beneficial.
Then you can kind of get people away from using their cell phones in the front seat.
She says she can also have a system in place that would essentially check behind you if you don't follow your normal routine.
If your child does not show up for daycare at a certain time or at a predetermined time each morning, then there is a policy in place that daycares would automatically phone both parents.
As of Thursday, about 9,300 people signed the petition to President Obama. The signature total needs to reach 100,000 by August 13th to be seen by the president. Recently published findings from a cancer study led by researchers at the UNC Limeburger Comprehensive Cancer Center could lead to new methods of diagnosing and treating 1 in 10 cancers. WCHL's Danny Hooley has details.
What we see in this particular analysis now looking at 12 different cancer types is that the one subtype that we call the basal-like breast cancer is more like squamous cancers of the head and neck and lung and ovarian cancers than it is to the other breast cancers.
That's Dr. Kathleen Hoadley, a research assistant professor in genetics at UNC, giving just one example of how nearly 7 years of study for the Cancer Genome Atlas has caused researchers to rethink the diagnoses and treatments of some cancers. That knowledge could lead to some changes in drug treatments. Hoadley is the lead author of a research paper about the findings, published in the August 7th online journal Cell. Since 2006, research has identified cancer as many types and subtypes of diseases rather than just one. But up until now, disease types have been identified by the tissues where they originated, for example, the brain or the lungs, and so on. However, studies for the Cancer Genome Atlas have led scientists to conclude that cancers are more likely to be genetically similar based on the cell where the cancer originated, not the tissue.
In some cases, the type of cell is one in one with the type of tissue, but in other cases, in some tissues, there's more than one type of cell that can give rise to cancers.
Hoadley said that's important to know, especially if different cells in the same tissue produce tumors differently. She added that there are a couple of ways that scientists should move forward with this new knowledge about cancer cells.
So it's probably not going to necessarily change treatment, you know, in the next year or something, but we'll start to look at trials. We'll go back at clinical trials that we have data for and look to see if we had reclassified those samples based on this knowledge that we now have based on looking at the cell of origin and not necessarily the tissue. Would that have changed the outcomes?
The next step, she said, is to move beyond the 12 different tumor types that have been studied already and to study more than 20 different tumor types in the near future. For more on this story, you can find it at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Good morning. It is exactly 6:40 if you're just waking up this morning. And if you plan on traveling on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard this morning, if that's part of your regular routine in the morning, please, it is shut down both ways. For a little way there between Critz Drive and Piney Mountain Road, you can't go there in either direction. So it's blocked off because of a downed tree that took down some power lines late last night, and crews are still working on that. We don't think anybody's without power, although that was the case for a while last night, but according to Duke Energy, there are no outages in that particular area, but there's just an obstruction of the roadway, and they have both lanes blocked off, so you can't go there. Between Piney Mountain Road and Critz Drive on Martin Luther King Boulevard, traffic is shut down in both directions. Otherwise, everything is copacetic this morning. We expect a big chance of rain this weekend. And, I mean, we're talking 100% chance of rain on Saturday, Saturday night, and Sunday. And cooler temperatures, too, with the highs in the 70s. 641 at WCHL, Fred Black says people are complaining about those new blue recycling carts for a number of reasons. And that's in today's commentary coming up on WCHL. That'll be followed by a little Tar Heel trivia.
This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know that doubling your homeowner's liability coverage can cost less than $10 a year? Homeowner's liability insurance will not only provide the legal defense costs, but also provide the coverage if you are found liable for an injury on your property. Increasing your homeowner's liability coverage is essential for complete financial protection and may not cost as much as you think. Call my office at 913-1144 to schedule a complete review of your insurance. This is Jeff Rubish. Did you know?
Summertime is upon us, and your friends at Glass Half Full Restaurant, Wine Bar, and Wine Shop invite you to enjoy lunch or dinner outdoors on our beautiful garden patio. As the season changes, so does our menu and wine selection. Glasses of copper-colored rosés shine beside fresh spring greens, fragrant herbs, and crisp new vegetables from the farmer's market. And our pitchers of icy cold sangria return. Patio weather is here. Come enjoy at Glass Half Full.
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Over the last 15 years, thousands of you out there have worked with us to buy or sell property, and you always come back and you always refer your friends and family to us.
We are grateful for that loyalty and never take you for granted. This message really isn't for you. In fact, you guys hum quietly to yourselves. You know who you are.
This message is for those of you who don't have the kind of relationship with a realtor that we have with our clients. If you are buying or selling property this spring, you owe it to yourself to call Franklin Street.
Obviously, we prefer to be the only call you make, but if you're looking around, we should certainly be on your short list. Do this. Go to our website, check us out, give us a call.
FranklinStreetRealty.com. Our phone number is there, our agents are there, the bus schedule is there.
The buses here are free.
Yeah, and all kinds of cool links to local stuff.
Local, you mean like us, locally owned and operated?
Exactly. Not just another pretty faceless corporation. Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
Ahead of all that rain this weekend, we have sunny skies expected today. Look for a high today of about 85. It's 6:43.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Fred Black. There's a new controversy rolling through our community, and it has all of the ingredients needed for a classic battle. People on both sides of the issue have very fixed opinions, and there's some that may not have any opinion. They just haven't revealed it yet, maybe. What's the issue that's rolled into our community? Why, it's the new recycling carts. So what's the problem? Some have said that they're big, ugly things that are hard to maneuver, and they're an ugly blue color. Of course, being who we are, some love their new big blue 95-gallon carts that have been used in other places for years. Those who need help can get it. And I like the idea that the cardboard and more plastic things can be collected in those carts. I believe that the county did its homework and got us a good deal. But I wanted to hear the opinion of someone who does the work. So I asked my very hard-working driver of the truck that services our neighborhood each Friday. He said, "Mr. Black, this is the greatest thing in the world. It's better for my back. We don't have to pick up things that people didn't put in their bins. It handles so much easier, and it makes the collection so much more efficient." That's enough for me. His opinion trumps all of those who don't like the carts. Stay tuned, however. Another issue will come rolling along any minute, unless, of course, we recycle an old one. This is Fred Black.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
This is Larry Fedora, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News on 97.9 FM, Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
Thanks, sir. It is 6:45 at WCHL.
Tar Heel Trivia is brought to you by MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Here's your host, Jones Angel.
Carolina football's defense made great strides as the 2013 season went along. That growth included an outstanding performance against Boston College on October 26th in a 34-10 Tar Heel victory. On that day, the Eagles could only manage 59 passing yards against the Tar Heel defense and only ran four plays inside the Carolina 35-yard line all game long. The passing yards were the fewest allowed by a Tar Heel D in more than a decade. Today's Tar Heel trivia question: do you know the last time Carolina's defense allowed fewer passing yards in a single game than the 59 given up against BC last year? The answer, just a short minute away.
My name is Mandy, and my husband Brian was killed by a drunk driver when our son Carson was just 5 months old. In an instant, I became a 26-year-old widow with a new baby to raise on my own. That was over 10 years ago, and Carson has grown into a handsome boy with the same blonde hair and love for sports his daddy had. But he will always have a void that can never be filled. Carson has cried himself to sleep countless nights, missing the daddy he never knew. If your plans include alcohol, please include a non-drinking designated driver. Don't you think every child deserves to grow up with their dad?
We all need people who will be there for us in life, especially when things get tough. People who say, "We're with you no matter what." Wells Fargo, we're with you now. At a time when you might have more financial questions than answers, and when it's time to rethink just about everything you do. So whether it's trying to figure out if it's a good time to buy a house, if you need to create a budget, or if you just need to get a handle on your expenses, Wells Fargo is with you. Wells Fargo. Together we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC, equal housing lender.
The Tar Heel defense steadily improved during the 2013 season, including an impressive performance against Boston College in late October, in which the Heels allowed only 59 passing yards. The 59 yards were the fewest gained by a Tar Heel opponent since the 1997 season. Clemson threw for only 37 yards in a 17-10 Carolina victory in Death Valley on November 15, 1997.
Tar Heel Trivia has been brought to you by MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
All right, 22 days until the season opener for Carolina. Today being August 8th, season opener is Saturday, August 30th in Keenan Stadium. It is a 6 o'clock game, and hope you will be there. Of course, we'll have complete coverage for you on WCHL. You can go to our website, chapelboro.com, and you can get a special deal, $100 for four tickets to the game against Liberty, plus a $20 concession voucher and a $10 souvenir voucher, all for $100. That is a $230 value. If you want to be there in Keenan Stadium to experience Carolina football for the season opener, you can do it.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle from the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for Fridays on the Front Porch every Friday starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There's no cover charge or reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInEvents.com.
His third year of running the sidelines, Coach Fedora has his Tar Heels ready for battle in the ACC.
Switzer's free at the 35. He's at midfield. Switzer with the Jets, and he's done it again.
Catch every snap of Carolina football right here on the Tar Heels Sports Network.
Are you getting excited yet about Carolina football? Tar Heels open up the season on August 30th against Liberty, and you can hear it all right here on WCHL.
Good morning. It is 6:49. Helps to turn the mic on. I'm over here talking right away, and nobody's hearing me except Rand, who's in the studio with me.
And I hear enough of you.
Yeah, I know you do. And you don't want to hear me. What's going on with you this morning, buddy?
Well, lots going on out in the Chapel Hill area this morning.
Martin Luther King Boulevard, the real problem over there.
With
the road being shut down both directions. I'm trying to remember exactly how far that is. That is... That's pretty good. It's pretty good distance.
Yeah, I haven't put the mileage together actually, but it's a pretty good stretch and right in the heart of MLK, if you will.
Yeah, between Critz Drive and Piney Mountain Road.
Yep.
You can't go there going in either direction this morning, but why talk about it now? Why not get right into our traffic report? After I remind you that Rand is suitably attired this morning with a nice dark blue shirt. Not Duke blue, but dark blue, and matching tie, and just looks perfectly attired, as usual.
We'll call it Eastern Sky Blue at the end of a day.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
All right. And you're not going to say anything about my Norkeethus Otis jersey?
How did I not? I certainly should. You're getting in the mood, aren't you?
I'm ready, man. It's Friday. It's, you know, always during football season, I always wear a football jersey.
Right.
On the day before a Carolina football game.
Exactly.
But today I decided I'm going to get in the mood early.
It's time.
Because I got a lot of work to do between now and season. So I'm going to try to get myself psyched up to do that.
I love it.
So, you know, we're only 22 days away.
That's right.
So, at any rate, what's happening with traffic this morning?
Well, we do have that closure. MLK closed between Critz Drive and Piney Mountain Road. That closure expected to last until at least between 8 and 9 o'clock this morning. Crews are there trying to, first of all, get the power lines out of the road, also get any part of the tree that may be down in the road as well out of there, and then also restore those power lines. Duke Energy not reporting any power outages in Orange County right now. That's good news. Piedmont Electric saying the same thing, that there are no outages, and there shouldn't be for Piedmont in that area because that area is not served. It's more on the western side. But Duke Energy not saying any power outages in that area. If you are a house or two maybe that you're experiencing an outage in that immediate area, that could be why this morning. So use caution. Definitely give yourself extra time to travel this morning as you make it through that area again. MLK between Critz and Piney Mountain, that is in both directions, so quite the issue there. 15501 northbound and southbound seeing some delays between Raleigh Road and I-40 this morning. That is just a minor to moderate delay there, and very patchy as we see maybe just right around the stoplights and interchanges that way. So be on the lookout there, though. You could still see some delays, and give yourself some extra time to travel again, especially if you're trying to do so between MLK or on MLK between Critz and Piney Mountain, if that's a regular route for you.
All right. Thanks very much.
You bet.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover of weather, 65 degrees. Look for high today in the middle 80s. 100% chance of rain tomorrow night, and Sunday. That's the main thing with the weather. High on Saturday and Sunday in the 70s both days. How about that? Now, that is a big change as far as the weather is concerned. WCHL's celebrity birthdays now. Actor Richard Anderson is 88 years old today. Basketball Hall of Fame coach Jerry Tarkanian, 84. Singer Mel Tillis is 82. Actor Dustin Hoffman is 77. Actress Connie Stevens is 76 today. Actor Larry Wilcox, 67. Actor Keith Carradine, 65. Let's see here. Dr. Donnie Most is 61 years old today. Television personality Deborah Norville is 56. The Edge, lead guitarist for U2, 53 years old today. Rapper Kool Moe Dee, How You Like Me Now, 52 years old today. Scott Stapp, rock singer, 41. And let's see here. Actress Toni Cypress, 38 years old today. And actress Lindsay Sloan is 37. Tennis player Roger Federer is 33. And actress Megan Good is 33 years old today. Jan Jones Pulley has a birthday today. Happy birthday, Jan. Michael Hughes also has a birthday. My good buddy Johnny Jones, number one Johnny Jones, has a birthday today. Very happy birthday to you, Johnny. And our birthday winner today is Beth Freeman. Beth Freeman has a birthday, and everybody ought to celebrate with her. I'm telling you, because she's really special. Beth Freeman gets a $10 gift certificate to the UPS stores, Fordham Boulevard and Metamont. They love taking care of their customers. They will also love take care of you, Beth. So happy birthday to Beth Freeman from all of us at WCHL. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Ron Stutz here, along with Freddie Kiger on WCHL.
Good morning, everyone.
It's trivia time.
Yes, it is.
And Freddie Kiger...
Yes.
Comes up with some of the most outlandish trivia questions you've ever heard.
Well, we try to make sure that we keep you guessing. Mm-hmm. Don't want you to get settled in and think, well, I know today is going to be da-da-da. The only way you can know is Tuesday.
I don't want you to get too comfortable. Just always feel just a little bit on edge. Because Freddie Kiger is on the cutting edge.
There we go.
And
we
got to join him there.
Well, but today does have a degree of apropos.
Uh-huh.
Because today, down in Charlotte, rather tonight, down in Charlotte, right, the Carolina Panthers open their preseason NFL season.
Hard to believe. You said that the other day. You said, I'm only 3 days away from doing my first football game.
And yeah, I mean,
hard to believe.
In about two or three hours from now, I'll be driving down to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, say hello to Mick for me, would you?
I will say hello to Mick.
Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers.
I'll see Mick because we usually have a chance to catch up and chat before he goes into the radio booth and I go into the TV booth. This is also the game for me to kind of get the wheels back in gear for what's coming for the ACC football schedule.
Get you in the mood for football.
Yeah.
Are you ready for some football?
Yeah. Hank Williams Jr. may be ready too, but keep his mouth shut.
Oh, boy.
Well, so a question about the Panthers.
Yeah, okay.
You ready? Here we go, folks. The Panthers opened their exhibition football season tonight against the Buffalo Bills. Mm-hmm. They've been around since 1995.
Okay.
Our question? Name the Panthers quarterback who started the Panthers' very first NFL game.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Lori Graham is today's WCHL Hometown Hero. We have Allison Cullen, a Development and Marketing Director with the Orange County Rape Crisis Center on the line. And Allison, I understand that Lori recently left. First of all, what does she do there at the Rape Crisis Center?
Lori had been with the center for a couple years. She actually started off as our crisis response coordinator, where she was making sure that folks who called our helpline were getting care from either herself or from our volunteers. And then later she moved into our programs director position, where she was managing our programs and also running our support group program.
I understand that Lori has decided to take another direction in her life. What's she going to be doing now?
We're sad Lori recently left us, but we're excited for her because she is going back to school. She'll be at the UNC School of Social Work getting her PhD.
Oh, that is fantastic. What does she like to work with on a regular basis? Tell me a little bit about her personality.
Anyone who meets Lori right away just immediately thinks about how kind and nice she is. And that's wonderful to work with. Obviously, she's a great person to have in the office. And then it's also really great for our clients. I mean, she's just so compassionate and supportive. And I think she's made a huge difference in the lives of the people who've come through our center and helping them on their healing journey.
Lori has worked so hard to build relationships and to really help people, as you mentioned. And I know that you hate to lose her, but at the same time, I understand she actually left with a heavy heart.
Yeah, I think she is sad to go. She really enjoyed her time here, but she is very excited to do something new. And we're very happy with where she's left the center. She's made a huge difference here. We actually started off with, she got here, only about 6 support groups a year, and by the time she left, we actually did 20 in the past year. So she's made a really excellent program and left us in a great place.
Well, I always like to say that the Orange County Rape Crisis Center is an organization that it's a shame it even has to exist, but you do wonderful work, and I know that Lori has been a big part of that for a long time.
Absolutely.
Allison, thanks for spending time with us to tell us about Lori. And Lori Graham is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Boy, a lot of phone calls this morning, WCHL. I'll tell you that much.
Boy, Freddie, you're asking a tough question today. You wanted to know who was the very first in the Carolina Panthers' first official NFL game.
Right, who was their starting quarterback?
Yep, Kerry Collins.
Kerry Collins, Nittany Lion,
who played in 13 games that initial season. Frank Reich. Mm-hmm. Of the University of Maryland, played in the other three. For the record, the Panthers went 7-9 in their inaugural season.
Not well. Kerry Collins was a quarterback for quite some time for the Carolina Panthers, and we don't know if Cam Newton is going to play in tonight's exhibition game or not. But our winner this morning, ironically, is a guy by the name of James Collins. So congratulations, James. Thanks for calling in. You got a $10 gift certificate from Cruisers. And you'll enjoy that, I'm sure. Thank you very much, Freddie. Freddie will be back bright and early on Monday morning with another trivia question for you. No telling what it's going to be. 65 degrees, partly sunny today. Actually, nice day today. High today in the 85-degree range. Tonight, cloudy with a 50-50 chance of rain with a low 68. Big chance of rain Saturday and Sunday with the highs in the 70s both days. It's 7 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. He won't be putting American boots on the ground, but President Obama is authorizing two military operations in northern Iraq.
Targeted airstrikes to protect our American personnel. And a humanitarian effort to help save thousands of Iraqi civilians.
The Americans who could be in danger are in Erbil, where thousands of Iraqis have fled to escape fanatical ISIS insurgents. Reporter Saoud Mirani describes the scene.
People literally are sleeping on the sidewalks and in the public gardens, and churches, and public halls.
Tens of thousands more, members of the Yazidi religious minority, have taken refuge on a remote mountain, facing death if they come down or death from starvation if they don't.
These people need urgent humanitarian assistance. They need food, water, and shelter.
UN official David Swanson, the U.S. airdrops included 8,000 prepackaged meals and 5,300 gallons of water. In Gaza, a 72-hour ceasefire ended overnight. CBS's Cammie McCormick has the latest from Tel Aviv.
There have been dozens of rockets fired into southern Israel today, beginning almost the moment the ceasefire expired. A barrage of nearly 20 of them alone before Israel launched its counterassault. In Cairo, where peace talks were underway, the Israeli delegation left. Israel says it will not negotiate as long as the rocket attacks continue.
The first of two big storms taking aim at Hawaii weakened overnight. Hurricane Isel is a tropical storm now, but still wet and windy enough to cause trouble, says government forecaster Tom Evans.
We still have tropical storm force winds that are affecting the Big Island, causing some damage, such as the power outages, trees down, and even some damages to buildings.
And one islander says he's ready for whatever comes his way.
We got water, we got Spam, we got Vienna sausage. Now we're good to go.
General Motors says 189,000 of its SUVs should not be parked indoors. Live to CBS News correspondent Jim Taylor, why not?
Oh, because of a power window switch problem that could result in a fire, Frank, prompting GM to recall the same